Tonight we have a testimony from across the sea, the island of Borneo. And Sarawak is part of Malaysia in Borneo. And from the capital city of Kuching comes Brother Kong Sing Soon. He would give us his testimony of salvation and dedication.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kong Sing Soon. I come from Cebu, Sarawak, Malaysia. I grew up in a non-Christian family. I have two sisters and a brother. I'm the youngest in the family. My eldest sister is a school teacher. She was the first one in my family to become a Christian. I heard the gospel when I was in my secondary school. At that time, I felt that life was meaningless. Everyone seems to be in the rat race of life. They study, work, marry, raise a family, retire, and then die. It seemed to me that people only live to die without any real lasting purpose. Here is the story of my conversion. During a Christian retreat organized by Inter-School Christian Fellowship, I received Christ as my Savior. He showed me the real purpose of life. This was in 31st August 2006. My questions of life was then answered. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." With this verse, I also led my parents to believe in Christ. During my high school days, I felt the calling of God to full-time service. After I completed my high school, I decided to go to FEBC, recommended by Reverend Lee Kim Chung. Let me share briefly how God called me to FEBC to prepare for full-time service. Firstly, I realized the temporal nature of the world. We all know the world we live in is only for a short time. It will not last forever. One day our sojourn on earth will end. But in God, there is much, much more to life. John chapter 6, verse 27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." I realized I had only one life, will soon be passed, and only works done for God will last. Everything we labor for in the world will not last, but only what is done for God will remain to eternity. Our life on earth is very short. According to Psalm chapter 19, verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." I asked myself, what should I do with my life? Would it not be better if I devote it only for God? This perception of the emptiness of the world gave me the urgent desire to serve God full time. I realized that there was also the need to nurture converts. Many people, after they have received Christ, do not know what to do next. There is great need for spiritual follow-up. Otherwise, these people will remain as babes in Christ after many years of conversion. When I realized this, I felt my own need for further training. Therefore, I continued at FEBC, which God had directed me to do. Thank God for the opportunity to share my testimony. May God bless you all.
Pretty good testimony for a Chinese ed boy. In the beginning, when he came, he could hardly speak English. Now he's in his fourth year in FEBC. Now, more frequently asked questions, FAQs. For this week, the question is, will babies which die in infancy be saved? Will babies which die in infancy be saved? And I want to begin with a hymn. 525. 525. Which will give us some indication of how babies are saved, how children are saved. 525 says, Jesus saith, Jesus calls the children, dear, come to me and never fear. We'll sing this seated. Jesus calls the children, dear, never fear. Jesus loves the little children. Savior, great and soon. For oh, he loves me, little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Children of the world, and before little children of the world, How can we know? I give you another passage of scripture. Romans chapter 10, the famous portion of the Word of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Word of God here says, if thou shalt confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10, all right? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How does a baby believe Jesus and also confess Jesus as Savior? This is the question. Our question is, I read again, will babies which die in infancy be saved? Now, what is infancy? I thought I'd look at the dictionary. I had two dictionaries. Chambers, which says nothing about age, just infants are infants which are young children. When I turned to Webster's, it seems to be more specific. It talks about infants going to infant school, and the maximum age for infants in the infant school is age 7. Another part of the dictionary mentioned infants in the legal age is up to 18. That shocked me. But this is so you can turn to Webster's. So where are we? You see, we are talking of babies. Surely the 18-year-old is not a baby anymore. Nowadays, they age and they mature very fast. I've mentioned this before, I'll mention again. Babies begin to learn from the time of birth, so that our witnessing to babies should begin as soon as the child is born. I asked this relative of mine who came from China. Some of you know her. It's called Melody. And she had represented China in piano. And she lost. She went up to the finals but was knocked out somehow. And she went to 3 countries, 3 times. And 3 times she reached the final and lost. So she was very determined. When she had a daughter, she says, this one will be a world champion. So when she came from China with this little girl, I said, when did you begin to teach her to play the piano? You know what she said? Oh, when she was in my tummy, I began to imagine I was teaching her. In other words, she was so fervent about her desire to train up a child who might succeed where she had failed. So if people, for the sake of worldly fame, begin that early, should we not begin to witness to our children, babies from the time of birth? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, how can we be sure? It is impossible, of course, to know how a baby believes, because it cannot confess. So where are we? The answer to that question must be based on the firm word of God of Scripture. If it is not in the Scripture, then we cannot make any statement about whether a baby is saved when it dies or not. So this is the question. The question that almost torments some parents. Oh, what happened? Okay, this is the question. Infants at death, where do they go? Heaven or hell? And this can buck parents, cause them extreme sorrow and anguish. And sometimes pastors and elders of the church will be asked, we have lost this baby. For example, during the tsunami, there were families that were washed apart, and babies were torn away from parents and lost. Lost. So parents were very sad. Asked, where is my baby now? Where is the soul of the baby? Where do they go? This is the question that is asked in our FAQ. Frequently asked questions. Some people will reason like this. All souls will be saved eventually. God is a God of grace and mercy. How can God send any baby to hell? And all souls eventually will be allowed into heaven by God, who is a God of grace and mercy. Now that is the reasoning. And out of this comes the doctrine of universalism. It is a false doctrine, of course. Otherwise, the doctrine of salvation is put to naught. Yes? So remember, for some of us, you've learned a new word tonight. Universalism says falsely, all souls will eventually be saved. Since God is a God of grace, is that true? No. That's why we go and evangelize and preach the gospel. Now another school of thought is similar. And this is practiced by the Catholics. Baptismal regeneration. That if you baptize a child, that child is regenerated and saved. When I was in training in Belfast, during a cesarean section operation, my counterpart who was assisting in the operation took a syringe of water and began to squirt on the baby's head. I said, what are you doing? Oh, baptizing the baby so that it will be saved. Ah, I said, that is baptismal regeneration. Baptizing infants into the kingdom of God, can it be? This is another false doctrine, which is current. Many people believe so because they have been wrongly taught. Now we come to the verses I gave you just now. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. So I put here, reverse order, you believe in the heart Christ died and rose from the dead for our sins, and confess with your mouth the same. Acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. This is the basis of salvation. This is called the covenant of grace. Now, where are we? None of these so far can assure us a child that is lost in a tsunami. Where is the child now? Sometimes we can find it very hard to convince parents. And they keep worrying, keep sorrowing. Where is our answer? Please turn to the passage of Scripture. Matthew 19:14. Matthew 19:14. Verses 13, 14, and 15. And there were brought to him little children, that he might put his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples rebuked them, get away, don't disturb the master. He's very busy. But Jesus said, suffer, this is Old English for let. Let little children come to me. Forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This is the greatest assurance to parents of little children. It does not mean you do not witness to them. No, dear friends, as I have said, it is the joy and privilege of parents who have newborn babies to begin to talk to them, to sing to them, to teach them the Word of God. Psychologists and children's doctors have all testified to this. A child begins to learn to be good, to learn to be naughty, even to hoodwink and deceive their parents by crying when they want something they know they cannot get. But because they know how to cry, they get their way around the parents. So this is the testimony of children's doctors, pediatricians, pediatric psychologists. They say, don't you be deceived by your child. He's smarter than you. So they are so smart. If that is so, I said, dearly beloved, when we talk about babies being lost and parents grieving, it must strike a responsive chord in your heart. You say, I've not had any children. I don't know. Yes, so it is. But we must learn to sympathize with those who have lost babies. The greatest assurance we have so far from the Word of God is this verse. This verse that is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When the Lord Jesus encountered these parents that came with children, And they want the Lord Jesus to touch them, to speak to them, to speak kindly to them. And the parents say, go away, go away. Don't disturb the master. He's too busy. But Jesus was never too busy. Yes, he was very busy, but never too busy for your child, for my child. Not that I have any now. They were children many years ago. They are now all in their 50s, going to 60s already. But I say to young parents, you who are having children and families, bear this in mind. Jesus loves the little children, but we have that responsibility to evangelize. This assurance that the Lord gives to us that God loves children and we too must love them, because there is such a thing as accountability. After they have gone into the age of understanding, when they age 2 and 3 and 4, no longer can you say the child doesn't know. The child knows between good and bad, knows how to obey and to disobey a parent, how to scheme and to think and to cunningly deceive the father or mother. Possible? Absolutely. Yes. The heart is wicked. Heart of men, heart of children. They learn to be wicked, to be cunning, to deceive. And some parents are deceived. So we must remember this. You see, in this verse, which the Lord says, and recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel, the same recording is repeated 3 times in 3 books of the Gospel. Suffer the little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Of what? Of young people, like the children, babies. Bring them to Jesus. Yes, he loves them. He loves to bless your babies. But remember, the human nature is such, is inherited from father and mother. They are also equally clever, equally cunning. And babies inherit that kind of evil nature. Can't be helped. We are all Adam's descendants. So there is a responsibility on all parents to teach their children. This is the reason why we must pay attention to the Great Commission. To go teach all nations, and all nations starts in your home. Please don't imagine I must go to a far off country like Africa. Then I go to present the gospel there to the savages in the unknown countries. No, dear friends, the Great Commission is to all of us. Before the child becomes a man, while there is chance, we must share the gospel. Are you? When a baby dies, where does the soul go? That is our concern tonight. However, remember, babies do not remain babies for too long. And it is your responsibility, I speak to all parents lovingly. My days are gone. Yes, whether they believe or not believe, the chance is gone. The opportunity is gone. Some of you are young enough, some of you. Many of you are in my shoes already. I say, listen to what the Lord says. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This great commission carries a promise as well as the assurance the Lord is with us when we go and witness for Him. Thank God we heard from our brother Kong Sing Soon. He is, I believe, a Fuzhou young man. And when he first came, he could hardly speak English. Now he has learned English. But more important is he's trained to be able to reach unsaved souls and to nurture them. So must we. Dearly beloved, the opportunity is yours. For young mothers and fathers, I say, don't miss the opportunity. The Great Commission beckons you at your doorstep. Amen. Now we shall sing the closing hymn. Hymn is 222.